Friends, hundreds of years before the coming of Jesus the Messiah, the 8th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy spoke of the expected sufferings of the people of Jerusalem and Judah at the hands of their enemies due to their unfaithfulness to their God. Their kingdom was about to be destroyed. They began to blame this on the failed policies of their king. They also thought that God had abandoned them. The 8th chapter concludes, "They will pass through the land greatly distressed and hungry, and when they are hungry, they will be enraged and will speak contemptuously against their king and their God, and turn their faces upward. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." The 9th chapter continues by revealing that things would not end in such sadness. The divine plan brings good out of that which is evil. Darkness turns to light. That is why it begins with the word, "but." It reads, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." The prophecy clearly speaks of a glorious change. The divine plan was to bring blessing to the nations beyond the physical borders of the land which had been promised to the Israelites only if they remain faithful. The nation was to embrace all nations and not merely the corrupt and defeated Judean people. Those were facing well-deserved divine judgment for their unfaithfulness to their God and for their selfish lack of commitment to his original plan to bless all nations. The 9th chapter goes on to speak of a much more inclusive and greater nation. It says, "You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, and they are glad when they divide the spoil." Friends, the message speaks of a battle in the spiritual realm in which the Lord liberates from the kingdom of the darkness of human sinfulness and from spiritual slavery to the evil one. It says, "For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian." For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as a fuel for the fire. Friends, interestingly, it is in this context of spiritual battle that the chapter goes on to speak of the coming of Emmanuel, miraculously born to a virgin. He is the promised royal offspring of King David, descending from Abraham. It says, "For us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Friends, as a divine Messiah, Prince of Peace, Jesus, by sacrificing his holy life in the place of sinners, established the promised abiding universal great kingdom of truth, justice, righteousness, and peace. By the Messiah's saving, self-giving grace, citizenship in this forever great universal kingdom is granted to all believers. They are the spiritual offspring of believing Abraham, who was promised to bring this blessing to all families of the earth. The divine Messiah, the new Adam, Jesus, gathers them as the new humanity from among all humankind. Hallelujah.